So I was going to show a little film clip of what we did for the last few months. So we've been in, we did two tours, one of Singapore, Malaysia, and China, including Shenzhen, Guangzhou, Beijing. Then we had a break. We came here and taught, right? Then we went back to Russia and did Moscow and St. Petersburg and... what's the other one?
Sofia.
Sofia, Bulgaria. There's this joke that I get up in front of in those cities. I say, it's really nice to be because sometimes I forget which city we're in. But I wanted to show what we're doing on the tours, partly to impress some friends of mine who are visiting. So they'll help me do something I want to do. And then I'd like to talk about the theory of what we're doing and where these talks fit into that sort of more broad plan of what we're trying to do. Okay? So Scott was in charge. Scott and Orit were in charge of Russia. Ami and Mark, where are you? They were in charge of Bulgaria, and they're doing a nice... Bulgaria is really small, but they do such a good job that we keep going back. And so I thought that I thought I'd show you what it looks like a DCI thing looks like. And then I'd like to explain a little bit about where it fits into a larger vision for helping people. So I think in recent months we have talked to I don't know. Chinese Buddhists in Singapore, right? Hardcore Chinese Buddhists in Singapore. Malaysians who are mostly Muslim. 1,600 people came in Kuala Lumpur, which is mostly a Muslim country. And then South China, which is mostly hardcore business people from Hong Kong. And then Beijing, which is mostly Communist Party members. And then in Russia, it was, I don't know, oil companies and banks. And like that, I mean, that's where we've been. And the vision is, can you raise the consciousness of normal people? And so I used to give, I don't know, many years I gave Buddhist talks, and I don't know, 50 people or 100 people would come. I think we gave one relationship talk, and then more people came. But then we started to do this thing where we tried to talk to normal people about how to use spiritual methods to improve their lives without mentioning any particular religion. And now it's up to 1,000 people or 1,500 people and who come each night. And we don't talk about, we try not to use the word karma, and we just talk about how they can apply these concepts to a normal person's life. And then many thousands of people, I think 5,000 people came to the Asia talks total. And then in Russia, that tour was a client who has 32,000 workers, and they're all required to read the Diamond Cutter, and they're trying to change the consciousness of the Russian banking system, which should take it's a lot of work. But we started, and we made great progress, I think. And can you sort of sensitize many thousands of people to higher goals and higher ideals, and that if they take care of other people, they will actually be more successful? So that's, to me, the end of the process. Like, that's the final stage in a longer process. So you take ancient wisdom and you present it in such a way that normal people can use it, and then they can get success in the things they want. I think people want three things. They want financial, what do you call it? Independence. All over the world, everybody would like to be financially independent. Everybody. And then they would like to have a partner of some kind. They don't want to be lonely. They want friendship, and they want love. They want partner. And then Everybody would like to have good health. People don't want to walk around with financial independence and a partner, but they can't. They have a bad back or something like that. People want those three things. And then I think deeper down, much deeper down, people want to help other people. People want to save the world, you know. So there's a deeper desire everywhere in the world. And I think we see more of the world than like Hillary Clinton, or like we travel the world constantly and we meet real people constantly. We're with them constantly. And the dreams are the same. People want, they want financially independent, they want a partner, and they want to be healthy and have enough energy to enjoy those things. And then deeper down, way down below everything, they want to contribute somehow in providing those things to others. And that's the deepest urge of all people. Everywhere we go, it's the same. And that's why superheroes movies are so popular. We decided to go to a movie tonight. We're going to see James Bond. Is it? Yeah. We were in Russia. It was advertised, school full, and James Bond. And I didn't know what it was. I didn't know it was an English word. Okay. So everybody would like to be Spider-Man, or what do you call those guys? Avengers? And like that, the guy especially in Transformers, because he doesn't just save the world once, he's saved it three times already. And he's just a normal guy. And somehow everybody would like to be that. And that's why if you make a movie like that, it sells and it's successful, right? Because deep down, people want money and they want sex and they want good health, they want to look good, but deep down they want to provide for others and they want to help others. So I think the reason that program has been successful, Diamond Cut, we started it less than 3 years ago, and I think 3,000 or 4,000 people a month come to those programs. So why is it, you know, what is it that they want? They want to know if there's a way that they can get those things themselves, a new way. And they want to know if there's a way that they could be involved in providing it to other people. So that gives them a chance. We train people, and then we take people on tour. I think there were 10 or 12 teachers came on the last tour, 10 to Russia. Then we added a few in Bulgaria, right? And in Asia, I think we had 12 teachers traveling with us. And it's interesting because you give a talk in Moscow or you give a talk in Beijing or Singapore or Mexico City and you say, you know, what would you like? And in the end, people would like to be, almost everyone ends up asking us if they can become a teacher and if they can go on tour with us and help others in the way that we're helping people. And it becomes a very interesting thing that hundreds of people ask us if they could become teachers. So we're training people around the world and we're training them to teach other people. Basically, the basic principle is reality is coming from you, and we'll demonstrate it tomorrow, right? Okay, there's a simple word. Reality is coming from you, from seeds in your mind. Those seeds are planted by how you treat other people. So as you do to others, it comes back to you. Because as you help someone, say with their health, then you plant seeds in your mind to see your own health improve, right? So people like it. They like the logic of it. They like the justice of it, that everything that happens to you is coming from how you treat other people. And whether they're Communist Party members in China or Muslims in Jakarta or French Catholics in Montpellier, right? 1,100 of them came. Or, you know, mixed up communist capitalists in Moscow. Not quite sure what they are yet. They all respond to the logic of it, that if you can explain carefully how you plant seeds in your mind by how you treat other people, and then your world flows out of your mind from those seeds, it feels really comfortable to everybody all over the world, and it doesn't matter what other beliefs they have. So to me, that's the end result. That's what we would like to provide people, is a way of life where they strive to get the things they want by helping other people get the things they want. And then that in itself is to change the world. The example of a person, one person, who is striving to get the things they want by providing those things to other people first, just that example makes you a superhero. In Russia they called it Zhivoy Primer. They kept talking Zhivoy Primer. We said, what's Zhivoy Primer? They're like, living example. One living example of a person who achieves their goals by helping others achieve those goals first is to be a superhero. That then you are a superhero, right? So anyway, that's the end result. We're training many people around the country, around the world. People are, we have 12 levels. And then as you move up through those levels, you begin teaching other people like that. So a lot of the people that you saw in the film, Yoram is from Israel, Liran is from Israel, Peter's from Austria, Sylvia's from Germany, little Ula is from Poland, big Ula's from Germany, right? We had, just imagine in St. Petersburg, a city that was surrounded by the Nazi army for 3 years, 900 days, and in which 1 million people died of starvation during that time. And they haven't refinished the walls that were broken. They kept them up as a memorial. Like at the Tibetan library, they have never fixed the walls. And they slept with the books, and they poured water on them whenever a shell came down. And so these people, what you saw was an Austrian, Hitler's birthplace, right? Two Germans and three Jews from Israel are training a group from Petersburg, right? And everyone was crying and everyone was hugging each other. And the same thing happened in Malaysia. We had Muslims and we had Singaporeans, we had Taiwanese, who are the mortal enemies of the communist Chinese, and they were all sitting around the table crying and hugging each other. So I think it strikes a universal chord. If you can explain correctly how the world is emanating from your mind according to seeds you plant there by how you take care of other people, it just strikes a universal chord. So that's sort of like the result of many years of work. Let's have those programs. Then below that, you have to have training. My Lama used to say, when you go to the store, when you go to the dollar store, take $100. It means if you go to give a program in St. Petersburg to bankers about how they can make more money by being honest, right? And not engaging in corruption, then you should have a lot of training before you go, right? So the idea has been, the idea of these type of talks is that we go to the original scriptures, and when you walk into St. Petersburg, what you've got in your mind is hundreds of pages of traditional wisdom. And then in your head, you convert it to normal people. So we really encourage people to take these courses, deeper courses. There are 36 courses, 20,000 pages of translation. How many? It's 10 times 18. 360 homeworks? 36 final exams? Like that. We have a rough program. It takes about, 15 years to really go through that program. So the purpose of this kind of teaching is really to train teachers in the traditional way. So we're following an ancient Tibetan text. We're doing it word by word. We're doing it the old way. It will take 12 or 14 years to finish this one text. And so I don't want you to be, if you're just visiting or something, don't be overwhelmed, okay? Tonight we are not giving a general presentation for bankers in St. Petersburg. We're loading people so that when they travel with us, that they have a vast store of knowledge from which to pull advice for a banker who's having trouble with an employee or his wife, right? Or who wants to know about death and how death works, and like that. So what's interesting is even all of these people, communist Chinese, Russian bankers, you know, Malaysian or Indonesian Muslim people, they, in the end, they also want to know the answers to the larger questions. And they want to know about death. They want to know what happens. They want to know how to help other people in a global sense, in a higher sense. So these questions come up. We don't bring them up, but people bring them up. And so the purpose of this class, which we do 4 times a year for 10 days, is to give you the traditional presentation so that you have information to convert into modern things. And I think that's a necessary process. So people should be doing films, people should be doing novels, people should be doing music, artwork, literature, business books, relationship books, bowling books, skateboarding books. You know what I mean? Whatever people will relate to, we should be doing that. So that you should learn the ancient scriptures, and then you should convert it into something that's useful for modern people, right? In modern media, which people can relate to. So we're stepping back now. These 10 days are meant to be foundational. Where did this stuff come from? It was typed in at refugee camps. We have a project. This is now the 25th year. This year is 25 years. They are typing in the ancient scriptures. They've typed in 1 million pages. We paid them. It's been many millions of dollars in expenses. And so the text you're learning tonight came from one of those refugee camps, right? And someone, usually women, type in the text. We get the text all over the world. We just, Scott and Orin and I just went to the library in St. Petersburg. They have 142,000 Tibetan scriptures. We're trying to scan them. They want $10 a page. Multiply 142,000 times 100 times 10. And that doesn't include the salaries. That's just the gift to the library. So, you know, we were negotiating that. And so, because in Tibet the libraries were burned, 5,000 libraries were burned, those books are gone. Whatever got out before that, like the Russian Tsar sent explorers to Tibet, they brought back those books. Those books still survive. Then we send them back to Tibet. Eventually they get back to Tibet. And it makes a big circle like that. We just delivered 1 million pages for free to be used in Tibet by people on the web. So, of ancient books, ancient scriptures. So you find the books, you catalog them, you scan them, then you have to input them in order to search them. Then you translate them. Then you convert that to modern media, movies, books, novels, music. And then you go out and teach it to people in countries around the world. So that's the whole flow of what we're doing. So what you're in right now is you're sort of halfway through that flow. You're going to get a traditional Tibetan teaching of a traditional Tibetan book, which tells the steps to enlightenment from A to Z. The book was written by the teacher of the Dalai Lama's teacher, okay? And Dalai Lama's teacher was my teacher's teacher. So then this is a tradition. So my teacher taught this book for 30 years, and then you're going to get a transmission of it. In the Tibetan tradition, if you get a transmission of a book, you must pass it on. like by sitting here, you take a promise to pass it on. So, like, that's your problem after. Okay, I'm fulfilling my responsibility tonight. All right, so we're in the middle of a book. We're in the middle of a section which explains how to meditate. And inside that section, we're on a thing called 6 steps to how to prepare for a meditation. So in Tibet, it's believed that you shouldn't just plop down on your seat and start meditating, that that would be like trying to run an Olympic race without warming up first. So a skilled meditator or a well-trained meditator will take themselves through 6 traditional steps before they start meditating. So we're on, I think, the 4th one or something. Okay, the 4th one is do a quick pick-me-up, karmic pick-me-up. Okay, like do a 5-minute practice to load up a lot of good karma and to dump as much bad karma as you can, and then quickly start your meditation before you can collect more bad karma, which we're pretty constant at. So the idea is you do a very quick and powerful purification, then you do a very quick and powerful practice to charge yourself with positive karma, and then you start meditating quickly. Yoga has a similar effect. Pranically, if you have a good yoga class where the teacher tortures you for a good hour or so, then we talked about it in the tantric class today. There's a corresponding karmic thing going on at the pranic level. And we talked today about the Tibetan interpretation of the word pranayama. So we spent most of the day talking about pranayama, right? And in the Tibetan tradition. And we were reading a text from the 1400s about the details of traditional pranayama. But a traditional pranayama, which is reflected in your breathing during a yoga class, should have a similar effect of changing your vision of the world for a couple hours, because your prana has changed for a couple hours. So we're doing a similar exercise, right? What's chinang tabla zorbet mean? Chinang, say chinang. Tabla zorbet. What's chi? Outer, nung. Tab, method. Zor means mainly. Be means you should make effort. So it's in Tibet, if you're going to undertake an important project or have an important meeting, then you should use either an outer method or an inner method to pep up your prana just before you go into, you know, like at DCI, every morning on a DCI tour, we rent a room in a hotel, conference room, we clear the tables, we clear the chairs, and we do a really hard yoga together, and we meditate together. Like, they're not allowed to teach they're not allowed to do an evening program without having done like 3 hours of practice in the morning, right? And that changes the reality of the program. So chi means on the outside you could do yoga and work outside with the prana, or you could meditate and work from the inside. Which is better? No, I mean, that's a Tibetan joke, right? Like, you should do both, right? On any given day, you should work on the inner method, which is meditation, and on the outer method, which could be yoga or other similar practices. And then you would change the reality of the day. Whatever project you were doing, it would change, and it would be more successful. So we worked this afternoon on outer methods. This morning we did inner and outer, right? Meditation, then we did yoga. And then this afternoon we had a tantric class and we worked on inner body pranayama and how the Tibetans taught it 600 years ago, right? And now we're going back to the inside, okay? That's kind of to wrap up the day with the inside, all right? So how to collect a lot of good karma quickly, how to remove a lot of bad karma quickly. In this tradition, you would think of your heart teacher. You would bring your heart teacher to mind. So hard teacher, we have many kinds of teachers in the monastery. There's called Pecha Gergen. Pecha Gergen means the lama who teaches you scripture. And then you have a Kamten Gergen, is your house mom. Like, you get to the monastery normally when you're 7 or 8 years old, and they're like your mom. It's the monk, the older monk, who's like your mom. Like, Geshe Lothar is a good Kamten Gergen. Then you have your heart teacher. Then you have your Ne Lama, who makes sure you keep your vows, right? Sort of a, what do you call, mentor, like an AA or something. What do you call it? Sponsor? An older monk who takes care of you when you have a crisis. You can go to them, and especially a vow crisis, which is usually a girlfriend or something like that. You can go to them and talk to them, and they'll help you. And then there's a Nyingi Tsawe Lama. Tsawe Lama means what? Like your heart teacher. And that doesn't have to be a Buddhist. It's just whoever, it's defined in Buddhism as whoever opened your heart the most in this life is your heart lama, your root lama. So in this, where we are in the text is, if you're about to undertake a meditation, there are 6 preliminary steps. The 4th one is make some quick good karma before you start the meditation. Then how do you make quick good karma? You bring your heart teacher to mind. Whoever it is, you bring your heart teacher to mind. So we have a traditional version of it here. This is an old carving of it, of your heart teacher. And then we finished talking about how the central figure, which if you're a Christian, it would look like Jesus. If you're a Muslim, it would look like Muhammad. This is just one for our immediate lineage, right? The central figure is a Lama Losan Tubuan Dorje Chang. What's that? Lama? Your heart teacher. Losang? The Lama of you, who sort of started your lineage or your tradition, right? Historically. Tubuang, the source of that tradition. Like, in our case, it's the Mice root Lama, the teacher of the first Dalai Lama who started our immediate lineage. Then Lord Buddha, who brought this knowledge to this world. Dorje Chang? We call this the Tantric Lama, right? Or your secret Lama. Secret Lama means people around you all day who are suspicious, who guide you. Like guardian angels, right? It could be your mom, it could be your dog, it could be your high school girlfriend, it could be anybody. Whoever, sort of in the guise of a normal person, what do you call it? They say something and then your day changes and you're, what do you call it? You're headed on a certain course and then you meet this person and suddenly the course shifts.
Trajectory?
Yeah, they change your trajectory. Okay? People you run in who change your trajectory and may be angels in disguise. Okay? So this being here is, in our tradition, it's supposed to be all four, okay? All four in one person. And you bring them to mind, and that's enough good karma to make your meditation go really well, okay? So we're in the middle of a very long and complicated description of this scene that you bring to mind. But you can have your own version of this scene, okay? This is just for people who are in the lineage of the Dalai Lama, okay? If you're Christian or Jewish or something else, you can have some other scene. It doesn't matter. The point is, the person in the middle should be whoever changed your heart the most in your life. And then you're supposed to believe that that person was not human. They were divine. They were sent to take care of you. Okay? They were sent to change your life. Okay? The most important people in your life, throughout the periods of your life, your mom, your dad, then your brothers and sisters, then your grade school teachers, then your high school teachers, then your college professors, and then your people who taught you how to do your work, whatever you do for a living, your first girlfriend, then your wife, and your children. According to Buddhism, the major figures in your life are, what do you call that? masquerading as human beings. And they are angels who have been sent to put you, to shift your trajectory from time to time throughout your life. Okay? So you're supposed to think of the central figure as that. That's all the people in your life who put you on a certain path, and they were not human. Especially the ones who gave you a hard time. Okay? The ex-husbands, ex-wives, you know, business partners that it didn't work out with, and like that. Police officers who didn't understand that you weren't supposed to get a ticket. Like that. People who hurt you. They also included in that group. Okay? All right? So we're going to talk about that group. Today's class is a little bit dry. We're going to go through all, you know, names of lamas and stuff like that. Because in that picture, we have a tradition to honor all of the lamas back to the Buddha, 40-something generations. Lama, Gyawa Gyasa Rigda Dorje Chu, Gyawa Yumcha Dorje Najama, Gyasa Tuwa Nara Tabesha, Sarwan Dasa Nengde Yeshizu. We memorize the names. We have to recite them every 2 weeks. All the lamas back to the beginning, so that you know the lineage has not been broken. Okay? So here we go. Detabu, you ready, Nimbo? Detabu? Are you with me? Is that where we are? Go up a little bit. Yeah, good. Detabu. So Nimbo is following the Tibetan with us as it was typed in by the refugees, this particular text. You can pretty much follow it, just be aware that Tibetan has a lot of silent prefix letters, like I can know what you're talking about, so just ignore the K and you'll be okay. Okay. Detabu Lama Shab Dorje Kyutungi. So that Lama in the middle, your heart teacher, will have their feet in, we call Vajra posture, which in ancient times meant lotus posture. Okay? It meant a full lotus. Okay? Dorje Kyutungi Shupe Pungso. Their body and mind, the different parts of their body and the different parts of their mind are themselves separate Buddhas. Okay? Their body is one kind of Buddha. Their feelings are a different kind of Buddha. Their awareness is a different kind of Buddha. So they are actually a combination of how many Buddhas? Five. So we had, what I did today, I took a, we did a tantra class break, and they learned the original tantras for all this theory. Okay? They learned the tantras behind this thing, which I'm not allowed to teach unless you have initiation. Okay? Deshe ngaso gomba di samadupe. It comes from samadupa. Guhya samaja, which is an ancient tantra from India. Lukyo means to imagine a secret world inside of your body. So not only do you try to see that the people in your life may have been, you try to track down suspicious characters in your life who might have been angels. A, but on the inside, you imagine that if they scratched your skin, if they cut open your skin, it would be blue as the sky inside, and there would be thousands of holy beings running around in there. Okay? Like your whole body is populated by holy beings. Okay? Soksu gomba di samadupe lukyu. Tsagyu du. Tsagyu means? Huh? The root tantra. The one taught by Lord Buddha. Okay? The root tantra. Du. Do tamsungba. It's described a little bit. Okay? This do here doesn't mean sutra. Like yoga sutra would be Nyanjorki do, right? So do can mean sutra. And sutra has many meanings itself. But sometimes sutra just means briefly. The word means briefly. So here, Dotsam Sumba means in the original tantra, you can find brief explanations of the people running around in your body. Okay? Shegyu, in the explanatory tantra, which was spoken by Lord Buddha, okay, to explain his own tantra, Dorje Terma, which is called Vajravali, which means diamond, string of diamonds, right? Gepa Terma means in there you'll find an expanded explanation. That Ge is the same as the root of the Gya. It's the same root as Gya, as in Gyatso, What's Gyatso? What's the Mongolian for Gyatso? Dalai Lama. So that title was granted by the Mongolians originally, and it meant ocean. And all the Dalai Lamas have ocean at the end of their name. So Tenzin Gyatso is the current Dalai Lama. Gendun Gyatso was the second one, like that. Gyepar Tewi Mengat Yin. These are personal advices, okay? How you see the beings inside of you, okay? Tewi Yin. Then we talked a little bit, we went to the Root Tantra, which I'm not supposed to talk about in public, and we talked about it in the private class this afternoon, right? And it was very beautiful. Where those beings came from, okay? Now we'll go on with this text. Deketsu Gepar Na. How you see your teacher, they could be Shelsum Chakdruk, means three shell, three heads. Chakdruk, six arms. Sangdu Lukil Tar. That would be the Guhya Samaja system. Detsam Luma Chokna. If you can't handle that, okay, this chok means if that's too much for you to see your teacher as having six arms, then Neldra Kigyule, you can drop down to the yoga tantras, and they can have Shelchig, one hand, and Chakni, two hands. And you can Seldep that way. Seldep means you can visualize it that way. I prefer that. Okay, I'm not good at seeing my lama with 12 arms. I can't handle it. It's confusing to me. I'm kind of repulsed by it sometimes, frankly. I like a nice, plain, you know, attractive person. And that's personally what I do. And I've been trained in the 62 deities of the Chakrasambhara Mandala, and it's too much. I just have one nice, smiley, normal lama there. That's enough for me. After many years of trying. Okay, Deyang Chichuk Ne. Chichuk means the tip of the head, where the Sahasrara chakra is. Okay, Chichuk Ne. Chatsam Par. Chatsam means, what do you call this? Hairline. It moves in some of us. Chatsam means up to the Chatsam. What do you call a retreat boundary? Tsam. This is the same Tsam. It means a line, right? So from the Chichuk to the Chatsam, Par, misspelled, should be B-A-R, okay? Lame Sukpung represents the physical part of that Lama's body, okay? So when you look at this part of their body, you imagine that that represents the whole physical body, okay? That much of their body. Ngo, but in essence, this part of your lama is Namnang. Vairochana, okay? This is one of the five Buddha families of Tantra, of the secret teachings, okay? But Vairochana is basically the ability to morph, okay? As a teacher or as a filmmaker or anything else, you should be able to morph. As an actor or a singer, you should be able to morph into different roles, right? If they say, play an angry person, then you shouldn't be smiley. You should be angry. And if they say, you know, now make a film about, you know, make a romantic film, then you should have the skill to make a romantic film and then turn around and make a very moving war movie right after that, like Spielberg, right? So you should have that capacity to morph. The part of your lama from here to here represents their capacity to morph, depending on serving the needs of other people, okay? All right. Nang. Dene Dimbe Par, up to the Dimba. What's the Dimba? Throat, okay? Down to their throat, from here down to the throat. Par Dushe Ki Pumbo is Dushe. When we talk about the mind and body of a person, we separate the mind into different parts. So Buddhism doesn't say the body and mind of a person. Buddhism says the body and these four parts of a person's mind, because two of those parts are responsible for all pain in the world. So we separate them out. We don't say the body and mind of a person. We say body, and the four parts of their mind, because two of those parts are the source of conflict and suffering in the world. So dukkha is one of those parts, which is
discrimination.
The capacity to say, I like this person, I don't like this person. This person has a brown skin, this person has a yellow skin, this person has a white skin. So dukkha is the capacity of the mind to divide, to make divisions, right? So if your lama from here to here is the capacity to divide, okay? Which is represented by upagme. What's upagme? Amitta bha. Amitta bha. Say a. Amitta bha. Amitabha. Amitabha. A means what in Sanskrit? In the beginning of a word. Not. Mitta came into English as meter, to measure. And bha came into Greek as full, in the word photon and photography, and became what? Light. So mitta bha means the angel of limitless light. Okay, it's a special Buddhist angel. So from here to here, your lama is the divine ability to morph. From here to here, your lama is the divine ability to draw distinctions, as represented by this beautiful angel called Amitabha, which is the main Buddha which is honored in China. I mean, everyone's into Amitabha, and that's the big practice in China still. Everyone talks about Amitabha. So how could discrimination be used in a good way? Yeah, well, no, this is moral, this is immoral, this helps people, this doesn't help people. This is an illusion. This is truth. It appears that the person I don't like is coming from their side, but I know they're coming from my side. Then that becomes discrimination, right? In a useful way. So can I get angry at a person that I don't like if I realize that they're coming from me? Right? If I can discriminate between what seems to be real and what's not real, right? Then I can be happy and I can get along with people. So that kind of discrimination is good. So from here to here, your lama's body is made of Amitabha. Okay, got it? All right. Dimnibar, upagme so pumbunga deshinga, etc. Each one is on a... there are five Buddhas. They are on lotus flowers. They are stacked on top of each other. Each lower one's tsuktor, which can mean a... what do you call that thing? A top knot? Like, each tsuktor is touching the bottom of the person above them. Okay? Then he says... So when you visualize them as like a totem pole, and they're stacked on top of each other, the five Buddhas, these five Buddhas, okay, that represent the five parts of your teacher, your heart teacher, whoever that is. Okay, it could, again, it could be your high school teacher, it could be your mother, it could be whoever has affected you most in this life. Do you want to know the rest of them? Yeah, so I went and got them, okay? How do I go and get things? We have a search program. It searches a million pages in about 5 seconds, and I just find them, okay? So I go to some other ancient text because of the 25 years of work, okay? So here it is. That's a long story. Okay, we'll do it, and then we'll take a break, okay? We'll do those five, and then we'll take a break, okay? So the body of your lama, which is, by the way, well, that's a long story. Anyway, a white deity from here to here, okay? It means your lama's body is made of divine beings, okay? So the part from here to here is Vairochana, mainly white color, and represents the Lama's body, of the body and mind thing, right? The five heaps represent the Lama's body, and is a antidote mainly to ignorance. Okay, what's ignorance? Someone insults you, and you get angry. Ignorance is when you get angry. Ignorance came just before you got angry. What was ignorance? You thought they were coming. You thought they made a decision to insult you, but what really happened? You insulted someone a week ago, in a smaller way, because all seeds grow. It planted a seed in your subconscious, and you met a person today, and that seed flowered and opened, and your perceptions got screwed up, and you think they're yelling at you, and then you get angry. Okay, then you plant a new seed for next week to meet someone else who is irritating. All the irritating people in the world came from you. To think otherwise is ignorance. This part of your lama represents an angel whose main job is to wipe out ignorance in the world. Okay, got it? By morphing. Did I cover everything? Got it? Okay, all right. All right, hang in there. You can listen to the tape. That's what my lama used to say. Nobody ever did. But anyway, so the next part of your lama from here to here is Amitabha. And this is the antidote for desire, okay? And he or she, Amitabha, is a red color, all right? Is it wrong to enjoy things? Is it wrong to enjoy things that are very enjoyable, like sex or something? Or chocolate, or, you know, is it wrong? No. Enjoying is not wrong, okay? When does enjoyment become harmful desire? Is when you would hurt someone to get it, okay? I would like to take that person's partner from them. Or I would like my third box of chocolate, which hurts your body, hurts you, right? So that's when enjoyment flops over into desire, is when it's ignorant and it hurts other people, okay? What makes desire ignorant? When does enjoyment flop into ignorant desire? When you would hurt someone to get something, because if you get something after hurting someone, it's not coming because you hurt them. Right? You don't get grapes from thorns and figs from whatever. Okay. You can't do a harmful action and get something good. If you lie to someone and you get what you wanted, they're not connected causally. There's no causal connection between the two. If you got what you wanted, it's because you helped someone else get what they wanted last week. The lying will cause, next week someone will lie to you. Lying never works. There's no result of lying except for people lying to you, okay? So wrong desire would, enjoyment is perfect. That's what Buddhas do in their Buddha paradises. That's why they're called paradise cafe, or you enjoy there, okay? But to desire means you would take someone else's partner or something like that, okay? You would hurt someone to get pleasure. And that's just based in ignorance, because you can't get pleasure from hurting someone, okay? All right, Duchak. Namshe is the next. Your general awareness, the fact that you're alive. What you lose when someone hits you really hard and knocks you out is namshe, okay? Awareness, your general awareness of the world. You don't appreciate it because you had it your whole life. If you ever lost it, you would appreciate it, but then you couldn't appreciate it. So, just the fact that you are aware and you have senses and you can see stuff and think stuff, that's a part of you, what we call your mind, right? Your general awareness, okay? In your lama, that's represented from the Dimba to the two numas. Numa means breast, okay? In a man or nipples, in a man or a woman, numa, okay? From the level of the two numa, from the throat, Akshobhya, the angel called Akshobhya, okay? What color? Blue, okay? And it represents the antidote to anger, okay? Anger. In Buddhism, nirvana is the absence of negative emotions, especially anger, right? is it possible to get angry if you understand where stuff is really coming from? Okay, if someone insults you, and your first reaction is, who did I insult last week? We have this joke in our university, right? It's called looking up when someone says something stupid, right? They say, Geshe Michael, you're really stupid. Then you go like this. And it means you're trying to remember, when was the last time I called somebody stupid and planted this idiot in front of me? You know, like that. You know, you don't respond by getting angry. You don't say, no, I'm not stupid. Or why are you calling me stupid? Because they're coming from you, right? So this is like the ultimate insult among insiders, right? Somebody says, I can't believe you, you know, and you're like, your response is just, you're like, what did I do last week to get this person here? You know, like that's all, right? You can't get angry at them, you did it yourself. You did the same to somebody else last week, so you just got to figure out what you did, right? So that's akshobhya, right? So now we're starting from the chest down, okay? From the chest down to the navel, the level of the navel. Your lama is rinjung, which means in Sanskrit, ratna akara, source of jewels, okay? Yellow color. They have their own directions and their specific colors, the five Buddhas. This is how I remember them, if you're interested. The one in the north I think of as Canada, so it's green. And then the one in the west, I used to surf a lot, and you sit on your surfboard and you watch the sun go down, and it's red. So that's Amitabha. And then, I don't know, the south is like fertile land or something, and yellow to me, I don't know. And then the east coast is always covered with snow. Like that, I use America for it, to remember the directions. But anyway, Rinjung is yellow, so it belongs to the, which direction? South, okay. Which on a human body is which direction? Paschimottanasana. Paschima Uttanasana. What's the Paschima? P changes to V, P changes to B, changes to W. A always goes to E in English. Yeah, west. Paschima Uttana means to stretch. So Paschima means west, right? So this is the western part of your body. This is the east. And then south. Ratnakara is always on your right, okay? Ratnakara. Ningane Devipara. So that's Ratnakara. Antidote to Ngagyal. Pride. Okay? Nga means me. Gyalpo means king. I is king. The Tibetan word for pride is I is king. Ngagyal. Okay. Ngagyal. Most of the good stuff in your life is coming because in your past life the guy worked really hard. My friend calls it Joe. He's an architect and pretty famous person. And I say, you're such an amazing businessman. He said, it wasn't me, Geshe-la, it was Joe. I'm like, who's Joe? He said, Joe's my last life. You know, your intelligence, your physical form, most of the opportunities you've had in your life, the lucky breaks you've ever had, the amazing things you've ever done in your life, the successes you've had, they're all because of Joe, okay? So pride is kind of ignorant, you know. Every successful person you ever meet will tell you they had some lucky breaks. And those are always coming from Joe's work, not from your work. So to be proud that you're beautiful or handsome or intelligent or physically, you know, you can do things, it's all foolish because it was all planted by somebody else, you know. The pride that you have in it is going to create terrible things later. All right. Ngagya, Rinchung. Down to the navel, right? We got one left, then we'll take a break. Navel to Lai Tsai Par. I don't know what happened. Lai means, La means, what do you call this part of a leg? This muscle here. Ka, yeah. Sometimes La means your thigh. Okay, anyway, down to your thigh is a Amoghasiddhi, okay? Amoghasiddhi, Dunya Drupa. And that's what color?
Green.
Green, Canada. And you are green with envy. And that's tarto. It's the antidote of tarto. Tarto means jealousy. Okay, jealousy. I'm a bodhi. Excuse me?
What's the heap?
Oh, the heap is. I'm sorry. The fifth one was sorwa, okay? Ratnakarwa was the capacity of feeling, either mental or physical. I like the touch of this person's hand. I like that people admire me. Feeling, okay? Whether it's mental or physically based, feeling, okay? Those two, by the way, the capacity of discrimination and the capacity of feeling are the two sources of all pain in the world. I like this. I like her. She makes me feel good. I don't like him. He doesn't make me feel good. Okay? Korwe gyuchir, rimgyuchir, pumbo namle, sorwadan, dushi lokshi, pumbo shat. That's the original text. Okay? It explains that. Okay. Duche tato dunduk is green. And that's, duche means all the other stuff that's in a person that hasn't been covered yet. Duche pumboshi leshen. Sanskara. In Sanskrit, sanskara. So all the stuff about you, for example, Michael, okay, is not Michael's mind, and Michael is not Michael's body. Michael is a concept, but it's part of Michael. So we throw it into that category is called all the other stuff that we didn't cover. It's called duche, other stuff, okay? That's a Moga city, and it's your lama. So basically your lama consists of the five elements of all enlightened thinking and existence, from physical to the deepest meditation. Those high qualities are represented by five Buddhas, and your lama is made of those five Buddhas. They don't have skin and bone and muscle and organs. They have a Moggacitti, Ratnakarwa. They have these Buddhas. They're made of Buddhas, okay? You gotta think like that, okay? Then it gets more complicated, all right? We're gonna get much more complicated, like what is their left fingernail and, you know. But I'll give you a break before that, okay? So, was I supposed to announce anything? No? Yes? Oh yeah, you're right. I'm supposed to stall for 30 seconds, right? I can't remember what I want to say. Oh yeah. Okay, go. You want a microphone?
Sure. But don't take too long.
I won't. I'll take 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. One announcement. Tim Lowenhaupt is going to be teaching at Beginner's Yoga tomorrow at 9:30 also. So if you want to come and you're just new to yoga, he'll be teaching at 10:30, excuse me. Yes, we'll have meditation and then yoga. And then also tomorrow there will be, there's a shoe company that has volunteered to give some of their proceeds to the prison project that Nick and Jeff are managing. So if you're interested, those shoes will be outside and we can give you cards for that company. And if you have questions, you can talk to Tim about that. It's a good cause. Thank you.
It's also Tim's birthday, so we'd like to sing you a song. One, two, three.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Tim. Happy birthday to you.
Kamshi Dedata Shel Chukitsu. Okay? Kamshi Yumshi. Are we there, Ningbo? Yeah, are you on Kamshi Yumshi up there? Yeah? Kamshi Yumshi Dedaka Shel Chukitsu. Those of you who just finished the tantric class this afternoon, you had the yum shi. What does yum mean? Like yab yum. It means like a partner, a spiritual partner, a female partner. It's called yum. What is that? It also it can mean mother, and it can mean spiritual partner. Okay. Kamshi means that's bad. Kamshi means the four elements. Say sa,
sa,
chu,
chu,
mei,
mei,
lung.
Earth,
water, fire, and wind. Right. Sometimes they add namka, space, and then sometimes they add consciousness, six. Okay, but the, in this case, four. Sachu melung, okay? Kamshi. Those are rapid, those energies, okay? They are energies. And like the earth element and the water element, these are energies that would be recognized in physics. For example, water is not water. The element of water is not water. The element of water is the it are the physical properties of water. So it's called Lanching Shewa is the description of the element of water, which means wet and flowing. That which is liquid, the state of a liquid, is called the element of water in ancient India and Tibet. So they're not like stupid people who think, you know, there's little water puddles inside of you or something like that. Anything in your body which is fluid is called water element, not water, but water element, okay? Anything in your body which is heat is called the fire element. And the space element is the is that absence of tangible form which accommodates other forms. Space, place, location is the element of space. You see, so they have special meanings and they're not like they're actually quite sophisticated meanings, and they can be related to gravity and inertia and things like that. Anyway, there are four spiritual partner angel women who are related to the four basic elements. Okay, and Dedaktan Sheltu means they are, traditionally, they are embracing one of the five Buddhas. Okay, so they... Four of those Buddhas have their own partners, all right? And here's the correlation, okay? One of them is called Chenma, which means the lady of the eyes. In Sanskrit, that's Lochana, okay? Lochana. And she's white, and she's located at your lama's navel. So we're back to parts of your body now being female deities. Okay, the his or her navel is this beautiful white angel. So we did a three-year retreat from 2000 to 2003, silent retreat, and this was one of our practices. Was there were yam hom lam like that? There's a kamo shinjin ma. There are deities that you visualize in your body. So for 3 years, every day, we did this practice. Inside the body, you visualize certain angels. And it affects you, obviously. You see, if you think in my body I have a wart, or I have a ulcer, or I have a headache, or I have a bad back, then you start to identify with those things. But if you think that inside my body there are beautiful, stunning angels living in my body, you know. Then you, if you have a lot of time, you can try to get to know them. You see what I mean? So it's not just a picture of some Buddhist, you know, angel is glued to the inside of your navel or something like that. Like you give them personalities. I usually try to relate them to someone I know, you know. So, like, if they're supposed to have a very peaceful personality, which is at the navel, okay? that angel is supposed to have a very peaceful personality. So then I would think of somebody I knew who had a very peaceful personality, a woman that I knew who had that personality. And then I would amp it up until they were super peaceful and put them there. And then you can talk to them and you can, you know, and then your image of yourself changes, you know, and you become happier, you begin a lot healthier, and you start to take on the qualities of the beings that you perceive inside your body, you see. So it's very beautiful. So she's at the navel, and think of the most beautiful. I put her in a white dress, like a wedding dress. She always wears a wedding dress, you know, and she's very peaceful, and she just spreads peace through my body. You know what I mean? Like that. So you can think like that. This visualization about your teacher, in our lineage, you are encouraged to do it on yourself sometimes. Okay? Like, you're supposed to picture that your heart teacher, whoever it is, has those beings running around inside them. But you're also encouraged to do it about yourself. We had it today in the Tantra class. They call Lam and Dibu. What's Lam and Dibu? During the path means while you're working on your own spiritual journey. And Dibu means the result. So after you become an enlightened being. And the book said you don't have to wait. You can have them in your body now and get to know them. And I suggest you start with one because you can get indigestion. If you picture them in the slightly wrong place, you get really bad, what do you call it when you can't poo-poo? Constipation. Be careful, okay? If you hit the wrong chakra, it can be a problem. But try it. It's very beautiful, okay? Okay, that's the first of the four ladies, okay? It's called the Lady of the Beautiful Eyes, okay? And she's white. And she is your teacher's navel chakra area in the back, right? Ningkar, Mamaki Ngomo. Mamaki is the Tibetans use the Sanskrit name Mamaki. And I don't have anything else to say about it. Her name is just Mamaki, and that's why they didn't translate it. They probably didn't know what it meant either. Okay, Mamaki. And she's at your heart. And she's a blue color. So personally, I'm not comfortable with blue people in my body. So I think of a nice, you can buy a, what do you call it, Vogue magazine, and you can flip through and say, who do I want to be Mamaki? And you pick a Mamaki who has a beautiful blue dress on or something. And then I like that. Personally, I like blue. So it's the color, it's the shade of blue that I like. And she's in my heart. And I choose a person that I know, and then I amp up their personality, and I put them inside, and for 3 years we did that, and it changes your how you feel about yourself, and it's a very positive thing. Okay, number three. Oh, and so again, they are embracing their Buddha. Okay, and that's also beautiful. Okay, number three, Dimba.
Yeah.
I was afraid you're going to ask me that. The white one, okay, the first one. And these are, what do you call it, provisional. I checked the scriptures and I couldn't find a solid, but I believe it's correct, okay? So I'm not 100% sure. It's not clear in the tantras, ancient tantras, but it seems that the first one relates to morphing again. So that seems to be the woman who relates to Virochana, okay? The one in the navel is white. And would be sort of the capacity to accommodate other people's needs. Like one day I was on the bus. I commuted to New York for 20 years in the diamond business, in the bus. And one day we broke down outside of a bar. And I had to go in and call my friend to pick me up. Art Engel, right? So I've never been in a bar before. And I went inside, you know. And then I'm sitting at this bar with all these guys and I'm thinking, how could I relate to these guys? I should start talking about football. And it worked, you know. We were all sitting there in the bar. And somehow I got some Buddhist ideas into football. But Lochana, that lady at the navel, is the ability to relate to people with their own language and their own, you know, to be considerate enough of others to relate to them in their own way. Okay, is her quality. Okay, second one is Mikyupa. What was that one? Let me see. Akshobhya is patience. Okay, so the one at your heart, the one in the blue clothing, would be patience. If you want to go all the way, she is blue. But then I warn you, she's not painted blue. She is fluorescent. She is blue light. She's like a sapphire. Okay, blue. Mamaki is blue, and it relates to patience. Okay. Dimbar at your throat is an angel called Gokarmo. Gokarmo means, in Sanskrit, it's Pandaravashini. Pandaravashini. Pandara means white. Vashini came into English as vest, meaning a different color coated on top of you. So she's white robed, the white robed one. Okay. And she's red, okay? She's in a white robe, but she's red. So I just imagine a lady in a really nice red dress, okay? That happened to be a miniskirt, okay? And you don't have to be classical. You can be modern, you know, make them. I had this lady I saw outside of near where Lama Ora used to live. What was that? Houston Street. There was a place called The Bank. Do you know this place? It was like a really wild, we lived down there for a while. But anyway, the kind of ladies who used to go there. And like really hot Spanish lady, you know. And then that was Gokarmo with a red miniskirt. Okay. And then that one relates to enjoying but not desiring. Okay. Enjoying. Loving things. You can love a person who's dressed nicely, even in a miniskirt. You can enjoy some handsome boy. That's not bad. To hurt someone to get them is bad. To enjoy them is good. Okay? There's a big difference, right? I always tell the story that I went to dinner with the Dalai Lama. People say, "Are you close to Dalai Lama?" I say, "We're like that." And they say, "Really?" And I say, "Yeah, we went to dinner, you know." And they say, "Well, how many people were there?" And I say, 500. And I was about 200 yards away. And everybody was watching him to see how he would eat dinner, you know. And we all thought he'd go like this and not eat anymore. But he grabbed a fork and he grabbed a spoon. He dug in and he was laughing and talking. And his mouth was full. My mom would have got mad at him. And he was obviously enjoying the food. But I wouldn't say he desired it. You see what I mean? He was enjoying it without... He wouldn't hurt someone to have it. You see what I mean? So enjoy. It's not wrong to make these deities beautiful or sexy. Or they're supposed to be attractive, you know. They are deities, you know. They don't paint them with, you know, suits on. All right. Where did she go? Oh, yeah. That would be enjoyment without hurting people. Okay. And then number four, Chitsuktu Druma. Chitsuktu means at the tip of your head here is Druma, which is the Tibetan word for Tara. Okay. And she's green. And she relates to Amoghas City, okay, which is... the opposite of jealousy. So it'd be sharing in other people's successes, the capacity to share in other people's successes. So she would be like, so you have to choose someone who has that personality, and then you stick them on top of your head, in your head. Like you go through all your friends that you know, and you pick the one who's the least jealous person you know, and you put them inside your head. Okay. But in this case, whose head are they inside? Your teacher. So you're supposed to be imagining your teacher is made of all these angels. It's like there's 100. We're going to get to 100. Rikya, they're called Rikya, the 100 angels. Your teacher, who looks like a normal human being, is really 100 angels who got together to make a single body. Okay? And you're supposed to like enjoy that and get into it, you know? Like, don't think it's weird, all right? Just get into it, you know? Like, wow, there's this really beautiful lady in the throat. She's got, you know, and like that. And she's enjoying her life. And that's part of my lama's being, you know? And you got to get into it like that. Okay. All right. You want more? Maybe a couple more, okay? Then I think we should take a break. We should go watch a movie. tonight's a Buddhist holiday. We're supposed to go watch a movie. So anyway, Mikso Keche Duki Teng, Tsagyu Tsiknam Che Nembe Ge, Sanying Sok Semba Ge. Semba Ge at the end of this sentence means Chang Chub Semba Ge. What's that? What's Chang Chub Semba? Bodhisattva. There are eight. They're called Newe Sege. There are eight famous bodhisattvas from ancient times. In the time of the Buddha, there were eight famous bodhisattvas. Okay. The first of them is called Sai Ningbo, Sai Kshiti Garba, right? We're going to go through. He doesn't name all eight, but of course I want you to know all eight. All right. That's why this class is going to take. We're doing a book on emptiness, right? We just finished the first chapter after 11 years. That's how this happens. Okay. Miksok means your eye, eyeball, eye sense power, etc. Keche Druk means the other five sense powers. Okay. Keche means doors of sense. Duki Teng, you start with those. Sorry, six sense powers, adding the power of the mind. Tsa gyu tsiknam che nembe ge. Add the tendons, ligaments, and joints. Okay? Tendons, ligaments, and joints. Che nembe ge. You get eight. Now, how you split the three, I don't know. We'll get to it. I think the tsik are separate and the tsa gyu are together. Tendons and ligaments are one bodhisattva, and the joints of their body is a different bodhisattva. So that makes eight. Six organs of sense, five physical organs of sense, one mental organ of sense, the ligaments and tendons of their body, the long muscles and connectors, and then their joints of their body are all bodhisattvas. Okay, made of bodhisattvas. Okay, I like that. You got to get used to it, and then sometimes just pretend about yourself, you know, say, I'm scratching Bharatchana. You know, like that. And then he's like, you know, like that. Okay, like that. It's fun. It's really fun. You gotta try it. It changes your day, okay? It makes things a little brighter. Okay, so this is gonna get complicated. Okay, you ready? We'll do this and we'll stop, okay? We got eight bodhisattvas to cover. They have their own consorts. Okay, they have their own partners, so we're going to get, like, I don't know, a lot of partners too. Okay. Not everyone has a partner, but a lot of them have a partner. Okay, so here we go. At your eyes, inside of your eyes, like you can picture it inside the eyeball, right, is Kshitigarbha, which means the essence of the earth. And that's a famous bodhisattva in the time of the Buddha. The body is white. So relates probably to Vairochana, or the ability to morph to fit the needs of people. Okay? Sai Ningbo. Miki Gor Suk Dorjima Karmo. Suk Dorjima, the diamond lady of forms, meaning the things that the eye sees, which is divided into shapes and colors. Okay? So she represents the offering. She represents offering your lama beautiful things to see, like paintings or movies or landscapes or the ocean or like that. She and there are mudras attached to these deities, right? Each one has a separate mudra. Okay, she's the form, which is represented. The mudra is a mirror. Okay, she's form, the lady of form. Okay, Namnang Shirikaba relates to the physical body of your Buddha, right? Yabyum Nike Chak Dambu Niki Pensen to Kupa. This is cool. A lot of these ladies have forearms because they need two to hold their stuff and they need two to hug their partner. That's kind of efficient. All right, but you don't have to do the forearms if you don't want to. Then they even, the Dambonyiki means the first two sets of arms are the huggers. Because they normally hug them around the neck. And then the other two arms are holding like pizza and root beer. I don't know, you know, like that. Okay, all right. Chenzen to Kupa. So now we're on to the second Bodhisattva of the famous eight. They're called the eight close sons of the Buddha, okay? Nawar at the nose, sorry, at the ear, is a Chakna Dorje. They have a Vajra in their Pani. Vajrapani, okay? They are golden color, so they relate to yellow, the south Ratnakara, okay? And his partner is Dra Dorje Ma, the Diamond Lady of Sounds, okay? The Diamond Lady of Sounds. Her name, by the way, Suk Dorje Ma in Sanskrit is Rupa Vajra, right? Rupa means things you look at. It came into English as corpse, okay? Kverp in Indo-European, and it became corpse. But the rup got cut off into Rupa. So kverp came into Rupa, came into corpse, meaning body or physical stuff. So she's called Rupa Vajra. Then Vajrapani's partner is Shabda Vajra, the lady of sound, okay? Lady of sound. Third Bodhisattva's name is Namkhan Nyingbo, Akasha Garba, okay? He's at the nose, okay? He's at the nose. He relates to, again, to Ratnakara, yellow. And his partner is called Tri Dorje Ma, which is something like Ganda Vajra, which means the lady of scent, the lady of fragrance. Okay, it makes sense, right? And she's embracing that Buddha, okay? That Bodhisattva, sorry. Shelter in Tibetan means they are facing each other and embracing each other. Lotus posture in ancient times meant the full lotus posture of the woman sitting on the man's lap. And lotus means that she's, her legs are wrapped around him also. So that was a traditional lotus posture. I don't know how it changed later. And then cross leg was called Vajra, or diamond posture, okay? Ganda Vajra, fourth, right? We'll finish these eight, we'll go home, okay? Hang in there. I sat in countless monsoon days on the floor of a mud hut for like 5-6 hour classes. And I swore, when I get my chance, I'll make them suffer. Okay, so here we go. Chair means at the tongue. Jikten Wangchuk Lokeshvara. Not Avalokiteshvara, okay? Just Lokeshvara. Red color, relating to Amitabha, okay? And the partner is called the Lady of Taste. And she's green, and she relates to a Moga city in the north. And I would guess that it's Rasa Vajra. I haven't found her name, but I think it's Rasa Vajra. The Lady of Taste, right? Rasa. At the heart is Jampelyang, Manju Shri, right? Manju means soft, like silk. And Shri, but it refers to the way he speaks, soft words, and Shri means glorious, right? Manju Shri, red color relates to Amitabha. has no partner in this particular format, okay? Because there's only going to be five partners because they relate to the five senses, okay? Those of you who did the Tantra class this afternoon, we're getting to the 100, aren't we? Okay? We're getting to the... I gave you 100, I think, right? Five this... Oh, sorry, it was 25. We're hitting them all, okay? All right. Dorje, what is Dorje Vajra as a part of the body? Is the sexual organ, okay? The man's sexual organ is called a diamond, okay? Dipsal is a bodhisattva named Sarva Nivarana Vishkambin, which means is able to overcome obstacles. Bodhisattva named is able to overcome obstacles. And he's green, and he's related to Amoga City. His partner is Rekcha Dorje Ma, the diamond lady of, what do you call that? Tangible, tactile sense, okay? And she's green. Blue. And her name is Sparsha Vajra. How many we got? Two more bodhisattvas to go. Okay? These are like, I don't know. These were like the Beatles in their time. But everybody has forgotten their names. That's what happens in time, right? So they were extremely famous. I mean, they were the eight greatest practitioners in the world in the time of the Buddha. But we don't know much. Nowadays, their names are even strange to us. Okay, so number seven, right? At the joints of the body are kunsang. Kun means samanta. Sang means badra. Samanta badra. The bodhisattva is very famous for having made offerings to his teacher, right? Samanta badra. No partner. We finished the five partners, right? And then number eight is Chitsuk. At the tip of the head, Champa means, who's Champa?
Maitreya,
the coming Buddha, the next Buddha. White color, nam, relates to Varachana, okay? So those are the eight bodhisattvas. Why are we mentioning these eight? These parts of the sense powers of your lama, your own teacher, your personal teacher, the joints of their body, the connective tissues, these are all not made of meat. They are made of bodhisattvas. Okay? The bones are made of bodhisattvas. The tendons are made of bodhisattvas. Okay? It's kind of sexy. Okay. He says, then Pabongkar Rinpoche, in your text, Sagyu Kingo Jampa Chitsuk. Maitreya consists of the essence of the tendons and ligaments, and he's at the top of the head. Kunsang Samanta Badra is the eight great joints of the body. I'll tell you the eight great joints and I promise I'll stop, probably. Yeah, okay, then I promise I stop. Here's the eight great joints of the body, which he doesn't mention, if you care. You don't care, I don't care. Anyway, I'm trying to do this correctly, all right? Pungo Nyi means the two shoulder joints. Lakpa Chikma means the wrist, okay, the two wrists. Kangbe Chingo means the hip joints, two hip joints. How many we got?
Six.
Six, two more. Kangbe Pulgong means the ankles, the two ankles, which makes eight. Those eight joints are Samanta Badra. The tissues which connect them are Maitreya. Sorry. Yeah. Okay? Got it? I think if you want to appreciate it more, then pick one place in your body, especially a chakra. Navel is very good. Half an inch inside the spine at the level of the navel, or like a half inch in from here, right? Bhuvo Madhya, third eye, and then put a person there who just lives there, and somebody exquisitely beautiful and dressed in exquisitely beautiful clothing and who has a quality which you don't have and you would like to have. So I get, personally, I get jealous all the time. My worst quality is jealousy. So if it were me, I would put some kind of beautiful deity in here who has a particularly strong ability to celebrate other people's successes. And then I would let them live inside my skull, just under the skull. And they would maybe whisper to me sometimes, you know, if you're really like feeling cuckoo, you can talk to them, okay? I mean, it's really healthy, actually. It's a kind of benevolent cuckoo-ness, right? And you talk to the deity inside your head who likes it when other people succeed, you know? And then someday you'll be starting to get jealous and somebody will whisper to you and you're like, whoa, who was that, you know? And like, it starts to work, okay? It starts to work on you, okay? It's very beautiful, it's very powerful, okay? Try it. Pick one. Just do one. You can't do 100. We're going to have 100. But you work on one, okay? Pick one, like tonight. And sometimes, you know, we have a lot of, even with our iPhones and stuff, we have a lot of waiting time, like at a dentist or waiting for a phone call or sitting in traffic and waiting for a red light. You can use that time. You can talk to the angel inside your head or inside your belly button and how you're doing, you know, and they'll say, did you get jealous today? And you're like, yeah. And they'll say, ah, it's okay, I still love you. Okay, like that. Right? Jenny Brill inside your head. Like, can't you get that need an inch lower? Can't you bend an inch lower? You know, like, she could be inside your knee maybe. Something like, I like it because she has like 12 eyes in her head. Like, you think she's not watching you. She's over here and you're way over there and she'll say, Geshe Michael, you're not doing this thing, you know. I noticed that at your studio the first time I met you. She's like, yell across the whole studio. And she remembers your name after a year. You know, I don't know how she does that. Anyway. Who wants to? We have a custom that we give away the good karma that we made by meeting together, and that's called a mandala offering. Rosa, you want to do it? Okay. Ike okun sanam yeshe tsozoshin sanam yeshe lechuwe namaguni tobasho. Thank you. Thanks for coming. Have a good evening. Don't stay up too late.